This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time to grab your popcorn and your drink. Please take your seat and always silence your cell phones. The next showing of Place to Be Nation's Laughing Theater with Andy Atherton is about to begin.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the theater, the Laughing Theater. That's right, it's our spooktacular Halloween episode. And you know what? I reached out, and I think I got the perfect guest for a Halloween episode. She is one half Geek and Sassy over on the Jenny Position podcast feed. You hear her quite often here on the PTBN Pop feed with myself and various others on Pop Goes and Movies, Miss Miranda Berthold. Miranda, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you, A?
I'm good. Thank you for joining me. I know you are super into Halloween, super into spooky, scary, silly, all the fun stuff that goes with that.
I am. Now, my co-host over Geek and Sassy, Miss Jenny, she loves, like, the horror part of it, which
yeah,
I do.
She's hardcore.
She is, like, hardcore horror. And I just don't find the thrill in it that I once did. I was actually thinking about that the other day. Like, I remember when I was in high school and even, like, some in middle school that you could, like, manage to get your way into. Like, I could not wait to go watch them, and I've seen, like, all the Halloweens. Part of the very, very original Halloween was recorded not far from where I grew up. Things like that I used to go to. If somebody said a house was haunted, I was like, let's do this. And I just don't, like, I'm still in the whole, like, if there was a haunted tour, I'd still do those. But, like, going and seeing the horror movies, I just don't get the thrill out of them that I used to.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
I'm like, borderline, there are certain things I love. But, like, I'm not really into the slasher. I mean, I've seen a bunch of Nightmare on Elm Street. I've seen a few Friday 13s.
I think they're repetitive.
I don't think I've seen any Halloweens. I mean, I forget about, like, the torture porn ones, like, you know, Saw and all that stuff. I mean, there are some that stick out. I mean, some campy ones like Killer Clowns from Outer Space I love.
That is one of my husband's favorite movies in general.
Yes.
I made so much fun of him the first time he showed me that movie. I was about 3 months pregnant, and I couldn't keep anything down. So we're going to just stay home. And we did that a lot in the beginning of the pregnancy because I stayed sick. And he was like, I get to pick the movie this time. And this is when Netflix first had got, like, big.
Uh-huh.
And so we had a Netflix, and we had got Killer Clowns from Outer Space because his copy, like, got destroyed in the desert. And I, for the first, like, 10 minutes of the movie, I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now? And he, to this day, is like, Miranda doesn't like a cult classic. She likes everything else, but she hates it. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I finished it. And, like, if he wants to watch it, I will watch it with him. But, like, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure if he's ever home around Halloween time, if they do it again next year, they have a scare zone for the Killer Clowns from Outer Space at the Halloween Horror Nights at Universal.
We actually have talked about going to that before, but we want to do it where we go to the Mickey's Not So Scary and the Universal and take a babysitter because we think the Horror Nights at Universal, we've been told, like, it can't, like, kids can get really, like, terrified.
Yeah.
So we thought about doing, like, the Mickey's Not So Scary because we all want to do that. Like, that's, like, a family we want to do. But Caden doesn't handle jump scares very well.
we
would take someone with us so that we could go, like, on our own and do the other. I've heard great things about it.
I love watching the videos that Ellen makes her producer go through one every year. It usually goes with like a celebrity, like,
yes,
you know, Eric Stone Street or whatever. And he gets so mad. He's like, stop that. You're big. You're tiny. I see you. And he like hides behind like Chrissy Teigen and stuff.
It is. I love when they do those. They're so funny.
So before we get to our movie, let's kind of talk about what's been going on here in terms of Halloween. We've had like a nice theme month. Mr. Scott Criscoll kind of spearheaded that, and I think it's been a great success. He has done his he started off a new series called Pop Goes the Classics, and he looked at the original Big Six Universal monster movies. So check those out on the Pop feed. Miranda, you and I are going to do Pop Goes the Classics, but we have our own. We'll announce what we're going to be doing probably towards the end of the year, because we're going to start that series in January. But it should be a lot of fun. I'm very excited, too.
I am excited.
Mm-hmm. But also, you know, there's been a nice horror movie compilation kind of pod that's going to go up on Halloween. Scott just was joined by Jason Sherman. They did a, what is it called? Something like Memories from Crystal Lake or something like that. It was like a perspective on the horror franchise. It was called, let me see if I can find it, Crystal Lake Memories, The Legacy of Friday the 13th. So check that show out. And Miranda, you also came up with a fun participation social media thing that we were doing here at Placement Nation over the month of October. You want to tell everybody about
it? I did. So I did similar to, not to like take their idea, but a lot of different venues do it, similar to like the 13 Nights of Halloween or 31 Nights of Halloween. They're both done. We did the PTBN Halloween Movie Challenge, and I chose 31 various Halloween movies, some kid-friendly, some not kid-friendly, some classics, some newer. And it was a really hard decision to decide what was going on this little graphic that I made that you could follow along with. Or you were welcome to use that hashtag that we created, the PTBN Halloween Movie Challenge, and share with us what you chose as your 31 nights. It's been really cool to see what people have decided to watch or like comment on, like while they were watching. My favorite one was Garner was watching, one of our friends, Garner, was watching Scream one night, and he was tweeting it and using our hashtag, and he was like, wait, who puts eggs out in the garage refrigerator? It's like little things like that that I like really enjoyed reading from people, because I had forgotten that was even why one of them went to the garage, was like there were eggs in the freezer or in the fridge or something. I don't remember.
I thought Tatum always went there for beer. I don't know, maybe I just assumed.
Right, I did too, but maybe it's that she went for beer and when she opened it, like there's a bunch of eggs in there. I don't know, but there were eggs in the fridge, and Garner was like, what? Like, why would you put those there? A garage fridge, it's like you said, it's for beer and drinks and like, yeah, stuff like that.
You know what I would love to do with Scream? I don't know if somebody did this online. Probably somebody already did. But if you watch like, you know, at least the, let's see, not to spoil anything, but I think Scream 3 was the only one that only had one killer.
I think at this point, it's okay if you spoil Scream.
Well, I'm not spoiling everything, but I'm saying like, you know, Scream 3 had one killer. I think 1, 2, and 4 had two killers.
Two.
So it's kind of fun. Like, I think you watch the movie and try to figure out which one of the killers makes the kill each time.
I know. I also liked, there's a girl that follows me on Instagram that found the hashtag and then started participating. And she made the comment of, so in number 1, one of the killers is, now I'm going to forget his name, but he also plays Shaggy.
Stu. Matthew Lillard, Stu?
Matthew Lillard, yeah. So she was like, I had forgotten how much of a sexual awakening Matthew Lillard was in Scream for me as a teenager. She's like, heck yes. And so it was, I don't know, it was just really cool. I thought no one would participate. And then we've got a couple of guys. We have one guy that's like been really dedicated, and he has participated. Even like I've done nights where I couldn't because October's been really busy. Mm-hmm. But he has done it from day one, and he's still going. And he's come up with like old classic, like some of them I had never heard of. Really cool entries. So yeah, I've been like super excited with how it turned out.
I love him at the end of the movie. He's like, oh, you caught me too deep, man. You caught me. Why'd you have to hit me with the phone, dick?
Right?
I always had a thing for you, Sid.
Hello, Sidney.
The faces he can make, like his facial expressions are oh, they're like some of the best in the industry, if you ask me, like in my opinion. Just the things that he can emote.
All right. Well, there's actually a new movie that we actually both saw. You saw it with your son. I saw it with my son. And that is The Addams Family, the latest animated offering out there in the theaters. Since there's no Hotel Transylvania movie this year, I guess that's what we got.
There is a season. So they have Hotel Transylvania. It's a TV show now. Oh, okay. And they have season two that they've done like almost two episodes a day, all month long.
Oh. All right. Yeah. So, well, so what did you think of the Addams Family animated feature?
I disagree with Rotten Tomatoes and say that you guys suck. you can suck on those Rotten Tomatoes. There we go. It was, I liked the references to some classic horror movies. There were several of them if you paid enough attention. Some you really didn't need to pay attention, but there were several if you paid enough attention, and they were done in a manner where, like, the kids found it entertaining and the adults knew what movie you were talking about. I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed this version of the story. It is more updated, obviously, the cell phones and the whole, like, aspect of bullying and, like, different is okay. I read some reviews where people were like, oh, this is overdone. Oh, this is overdone. But we went, me, my son, and our babysitter. So three different age groups, obviously. She's 19. My son just turned 13. And, yeah, I'm there. And I felt like
we'll just say we all – we'll say 32, so you didn't have them too young or not too old.
It's okay. Okay. I'm almost 35. Right. Let's just be honest. All right. So I felt like several age groups were, you know, recognized, obviously, going – and we all – loved it. We stayed all the way through the credits just because Caden really wanted to hear like the music and see like the work that went into it. Mm-hmm. I like that they also stayed true, even though it was a children's movie. And not that the original Addams Families weren't, because I don't remember the rating, but I think they're family friendly.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm. But they're very family friendly, but they're not like, they weren't kids movies. Is what I guess what I'm trying to say.
They weren't like little kid movies. They were like, you know, you think like a 10, 12 year old.
Right. So I like that they stayed true to the style of character. Mm-hmm. Like the characters like were still themselves.
Yeah.
I do like that it was updated. I like that you got a little backstory of Morticia. Yes. Like,
you have kind of like the origin story.
Yeah, basically. And I don't know that we've ever had that. I mean, maybe in the original that, yes, I've seen, but like, I don't really remember. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. I liked the style of cartoon.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
The style of animation that was done. And I felt like it was dark when it needed to be and, like, light and cheery and fluffy and colorful when it needed to be as well.
Yeah, I love the voice casting.
Yes.
They did a great job. And I really, the one problem I had with the Addams Family, the two movies that we got, was Uncle Fester's voice. Like, I grew up watching in reruns. I'm not that old. The original Addams Family. And Uncle Fester has to have, like, a higher voice, you know, kind of thing. And when it was...
Right, like, almost like you would expect from, like, a really fun uncle. Or, like, the uncle that always would, like, dress up as the clown and stuff.
Yeah. And, like, almost like Curly or something from the Three Stooges. And as much as I love Christopher Lloyd, his voice was not right for...
No. His facial expressions and stuff were, again, he's another actor that emotes really well, like, gives you those emotions in his face. But I'm with you. Like, his voice was okay.
So when they brought it back with Nick Kroll and had, like, a high voice in this one, I was like, oh, I'm on board.
Really, like, little...
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
And he had a little bit of a impediment, a little bit of king hair. It was fun. I mean, and I thought, you know, oh, who was it? Oscar Isaac and... Charlize Theron were good. And then you had Chloe Grace Moretz and Finn Wolfhard as the kids. Then you had like Bette Miller as the grandma. And Allison Janney was that the kind of crazy home improvement lady.
I adore her. She's a good voice too. Mm-hmm. The Lurch story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I liked that a lot.
You rang. So, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, it's still in theaters. Or, you know, wait for it to come on cable. It's worth a watch. I enjoy
it. One that we'll digitally purchase.
Yeah,
I really do.
I'm glad. First, Dylan didn't want to see it, and then it turned out Jessica went to a party at a friend's house, so we had to find something to do.
Yeah, because I had asked you the weekend it came out. I was like, hey, you possibly want to review this? And he's like, I don't really think, you know, Dylan wants to see it. And I was like, well, we do. So, okay.
Yes, and he kind of changed direction. So I said, well, we're recording. We'll give us some brief thoughts about it. And so, those are our brief thoughts. So, Miranda, why did I have you on the show? What are we watching tonight?
So we are watching one of my favorite movies, not just favorite Halloween movies, but my favorite movies with an amazing actor. Mm-hmm. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
That's right. 1988's Beetlejuice, directed by Tim Burton, starring Michael Keaton, Alec Baldwin, Gina Davis, who else? Catherine O'Hara, Jeffrey Jones, Winona Ryder, amongst others.
All-star cast. Mm-hmm.
Great. And this was like Tim Burton at his, like, when he was just hitting his stride.
And Tim Burton is one of my favorite movie entities, if you will.
And this is
all around.
We'll talk about it as we go through the movie, but this is very Tim Burton.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, and this was in between his two Batman movies. So we'll go over some trivia.
Which people forget about sometimes that he did those. Mm-hmm.
Well, they were very dark, and I mean, a lot of people argue to this day they're still the best Batman.
I have a really hard time with picking my favorite, so I won't say that, but I will say that I love and adore them, and to me, I can rewatch them now, and they still hold up.
Yes, they do, very much so. Okay, so I am watching this on Blu-ray. Miranda is watching this on Amazon Prime. We're both queued up to the where it says a Geffen Company release.
Yes.
On screen. And so we're going to start the movie in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hit play. Play. There we go. My PlayStation was like kind of like acting up.
I've started buying more digital movies. And I know that we have a physical copy of Beetlejuice somewhere. But when you're discussing the prospect of moving to another country temporarily, you were like, well, it's digital, this shit.
Well, you know what? Actually, I stopped buying physical media for the most part. We have Beetlejuice title on screen, by the way, just so you know, you're keeping up.
Yes.
And now we have a shot of like Vermont or something. I forget exactly where they go.
And it cracks me up. Mr. That side of the country. And he's like, I think Vermont something. Yeah. New England. Okay.
Yeah. It's typical New England town here. It's like, but it's like not New England where I live. Right. This is like New England. Like, I'm like, damn. But, you know, I was buying like only the like the big tentpole movies like Marvel and stuff like that. But I was always make sure I had the digital code because we do Movies Anywhere and stuff like that. And I share that with like, you know, my aunt or my girlfriend and her son to watch it. So, but I've noticed since I've started doing this show, I've been going to like FYE and buying like used copies or cheaper copies. Yeah. So I have it so that way, because sometimes you can't find stuff on streaming. And that way I know. You're not running out to buy Zombieland an hour and a half before you're supposed to record an episode of another show where you're watching Zombieland after it just got pulled off Netflix like a month before.
Actually, I would be screwed if that happened because the closest town that has anything similar to FYE is about a 25-ish minute, 30-minute drive. And they have a Second and Charles, which is the used bookstore that's owned by Books A Million.
Yeah, so I believe we're looking at the model now. I thought the model was cool, actually.
Oh, it is phenomenal. I've heard of somebody, and I saw it, like, it's not anybody I know, but I've heard of somebody actually recreating this model.
Sheesh.
And put, like, years of work into it.
Yeah, you got to have a lot of patience and a lot of OCD, I guess.
Well, you would have to.
Yeah. All right,
I could do without that.
Credits just ended, and there's a spider. Not like in the spiders?
Nope.
So I guess we shouldn't watch Arachnophobia.
That movie bothers me.
Alec Baldwin looks so different. This is, like, non-douchey Alec Baldwin.
This is, like, adorable Alec Baldwin. Like, I remember being little and thinking, aw, he's just so cute. Yeah. You know who really makes me think of here? If they had done a live action like Treasure Planet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Milo. Would he not have been perfect as a Milo
was, yeah. And then Gina Davis, who was, she was just hitting her her stride too at that time. I don't think she had done much up until then. I mean, League of Their Own, I think, is probably where she really was at her peak.
I'd agree.
I think she had a small part in, oh, Christ, what movie was it? Fletch, I think.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Let's see. But yeah, so we have, they're the, I don't know what their last names, but it's Adam and Barbara.
I'm trying to remember. Is this their anniversary that they're celebrating, or are they newlyweds?
I think they're newlyweds, or they're just redoing the house or something.
I know that sounds really bad that I've seen this movie as many times I have, and it's my favorite, and I can't remember which of the two it is.
So this came out in 88. So she has, she hadn't done much on there. She had done a lot of TV stuff up until then.
Which is a lot of times how people would get their start, doing TV or... Mm-hmm.
Yes, she had a show called Sarah. I forgot. It's like a sitcom. And then, yeah, she was in a very small movie. She was in Rollins and Fletch. Then she was in The Fly. And then it was Beetlejuice. And then she started really hitting with, like, Earth Girls Are Easy. And I think she got nominated for Accidental Tourist in 1988. And then that's when her, you know, Quick Change, Thelma and Louise, all that stuff started coming out.
Right.
So here comes the, somebody wants to buy their farmhouse, I guess. That's the whole plot, and they have a friend who's a realtor,
but they don't really want to sell it. Like, no. They're like, no,
no. But, like, you know, the realtor's like, it's just the two of you. Don't you want to sell it to a family? She's like, eh.
Which is like the, like, why would you say that to a woman? You don't know if she can have kids or wants kids, or you know, has gone through trouble having kids.
I think they have trouble because you see her face.
They do, and they say something. To Lydia much later in the movie that indicates, you know.
That they couldn't have kids. Oh, Jesus. Still cracks me up, though. He's unrecognizable, Alec Baldwin, actually.
He really is.
I know he did Working Girl. I think he already played kind of a douche before that. I think he was like Melanie Griffith's boyfriend or something like that before she meets Harrison Ford.
And what's sad is he plays a douche a lot, like, but he did so well in this movie that you're like, look, you cannot be a douche.
Yeah, so then here's where our inciting incident happens, so to speak.
That house is really cool, though. Yeah. Like, I don't think I would want to sell it either. Yeah, see, he just said they could try again. So clearly something happened. It didn't go right.
Yeah, it was a cute town, though. They're driving down to the local hardware store.
So growing up in my super tiny town, I was always envious because I thought, like, all New England places were like that. My mom was like, we never went. But we actually, believe it or not, we have a couple of tiny little towns, like, you know how you have, like, unincorporated towns, like, off the edge of your town?
Yeah.
So we actually had places kind of similar to this, but they just weren't as clean and upkept, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, we have little towns like this. It's just where I am, I'm, like, on the coast up, like, off 95 for the most part. So I guess he owns the hardware store, by the
way. Yes.
So I'm over here, like, you know, it's kind of built up. I mean, there are stretches you go.
Right.
But this, when you're looking for quaint New England, you got to go quite further, like away from the major cities and inland. Just a short trip to the hardware store. You never know what can happen.
You truly don't, though. Mm-hmm. Not to be like all Debbie Downer, but I think the statistics of accidents is, you're more likely to have an accident within so many.
Yeah, like 10 miles or something.
Yeah, like 10 miles of your home. I think it's even less than that than you are like to have an accident anywhere else.
Damn dog.
No, poor dog. Part of it's like, part of me is looking at that and I'm like, how did they not get out the
window? I know, they didn't go that far and it doesn't look like that deep.
Unless when the car like went over and flipped, they like hit their heads and you know, like weird shit happened.
And the window's open too. You could swim out.
Right.
I mean, I've never experienced it before, so.
Me neither. I've been in a car accident, but I've not. I've been in a bad one, but I've never gone into like
water. I've never been anything that bad, but I actually put the back tire of my mother's car in a river. I like skid off the highway. So here they are. They're in their house. All of a sudden, fire went on. They figure out, whoa, something's just not right here. She lights on fire. I wonder, I mean, this is weird how they.
Yeah.
You know, because they get back to the house and then they can't go out the house.
I did always wonder, like.
The sandworms. See, this sandworm is. Yeah, that's very Burton-esque, that whole sandworms and the stripes and all that.
Which he carries over years later into other movies that will become part of the Burton franchise.
Yeah. Like they don't have reflections, I guess. Ghosts are like vampires. And there's
handbook
for witches.
I've seen like copy, or you know, they're not real, but they're like prop copies. But I would like there to be a real one. And there may be. Like, I've just never come across it.
I mean, you have Beetlejuice on Broadway now. Maybe that's one of the props. Maybe they sell that there. My daughter wants to see that.
My son does. He came across the soundtrack while watching something else on YouTube. And is, like, absolutely fascinated with it. Which is what prompted me to buy the Beetlejuice cartoon.
Oh.
Which I'd seen, but I had did not realize that I'd never shown him.
Yeah, Jessica, I think, wants it for a Christmas present.
We're debating right now if we're going to, for us, that would be coming to New York. So that would be.
Come on!
I know, right?
You'll have a personal tour guide.
To Slovakia, so, you know.
It's fun. Have you ever been to New York?
I have.
Quite interesting, especially that Christmas time. So, like he, the bile exorcist. Damn sandworms, 13%, huh?
His voice in this is just this.
So he's reading the obituaries. You gotta find a job so he opens up to the obituaries. Oh, it's the Maitlands. That's the name of the couple.
But they don't really use their last name much. Like, yes, it's here in the obituary, but, like, it's usually just, you know, they call them by their first name.
And on the hardware store.
Oh, it is on the hardware store.
He's got to put his own in the model.
Makes you wonder, did those just randomly appear in his diorama, or did he add them?
I'm sure he probably added them because he's probably that OCD because he had to run down to his hardware store to get, like, you know, a specific thing for his model.
I do think that's adorable, like, how cutesy she's like, well, where are all the other dead people? And he looks at her and smiles real big and he's like, well, maybe this is heaven. Because it is just the two of them together. Mm-hmm. And that's what they were talking about. It's like 2 weeks at home together, just the two of us. We don't have to worry about anything. So I think that was cute. Do they forget they're dead?
Yeah, sometimes I think they do. Because they're in their house. There's Jane, the realtor. You knew she sold that sucker right after they died.
She looks genuinely upset, though. She didn't want anything bad to happen to him. She just, I think, she wanted another sell and was like, well, why do they really need this big old house? I think she was thinking, I can sell them a smaller home and sell their big home and cha-ching.
Oh, yeah, they're still trying to figure out that damn book.
I'm sorry, but as calm as he is about, like, we're dead, like, just don't worry about it. We're dead. There's nothing you can do about it. I don't know that I would be that calm.
Yeah, I wonder how much time passes between, she's lying there, kind of Sigourney Weaver-esque from Ghostbusters.
She's like floating in the air. That bed is awful small, though.
Like, I'm just being honest. I'm sorry, you know, when you're two people sleeping in bed, it's got to be a queen or bigger. There comes the new owners. The great Catherine O'Hara. She is hysterical. Jeffrey Jones was popular at the time, although, you know, he's kind of a sleaze. But he had just come off. I think this came right after Ferris Bueller.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. He was a great choice for this, though.
Yeah, because this is kind of out of character for him, because he usually plays the bad guy.
Right.
Let's see, Ferris Bueller was 86. Yeah.
So it's a flip-flop, if you think about it, because he usually plays, well, I mean, him and Baldwin both, like, they're in nicer, funnier roles.
And early Winona Ryder also.
Yeah.
Who I think she'd only done, I think, Lucas and Heathers by this time. I don't know if you remember that, Lucas, at all.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, that was her first movie role, I think. Yeah, she had done Lucas and something called Square Dance right before. Heathers came out later that year.
Mm-hmm. I do remember the Heathers, but that was something that I watched later.
Mm-hmm. All these sculptures. Ugly-ass sculptures.
I like how she has to, like, tell him, like, no, it's mine. Like, it's mine.
Like, I made it.
Like a kid when they make something at school and bring it home, they're like, I made this, and you're like, oh, thanks. And you look at your spouse and you're like, what is this?
This guy just wants to you know, relax. That's all he wants to do the entire movie, right? And then you have Ortho, the interior designer. Now this guy, his name is Glenn Shaddix. The only other thing that I really knew him from was Demolition Man. Looks like he's mostly a voice actor these days.
Which is what a lot of them are doing now. Like, there's money to be had.
I would love to do that. You would love to do that, too.
Yes, I would.
We're going to start our own voice acting thing.
There you go.
We'll call it Mirandy. So they're trying to figure it out, that they're ghosts.
This is probably one of my favorite parts.
They go through with the, they have the spray paint in hand.
That bolo tie, like, what the heck?
And they try to start lame attempts to scare them. Mauve. That was your words.
Yeah.
He probably charges a shit ton of money too.
Oh, for sure. The problem is the bones of this house in general are.
Ah! He pulls out, but they don't even see it. They're just looking like aghast at how small the closet is.
They just, like, push her aside.
They find their wedding outfits.
So. Yeah. An indoor outhouse. Oh, my God.
Viridian? Why do I know that name? Blue Green.
Schooled in chemistry. What the hell was a hair analyst? Oh, my God, this is too funny.
Is the one room they're not allowed to touch.
I like it that it's the guy that's not the ghost that scared them, and the ghosts are doing, like, absolutely no scaring whatsoever.
Uh-huh. They haven't figured it out yet.
That meltdown she has is pretty fantastic.
All right. She's obviously crazy. He's like, I will take you with me. It's like, okay, you can remodel the house. Just leave this room alone.
It's one room. Just let me have this one room. Which actually, that's what I was going to say. Like the bones of this house, the built-ins and the like the hardwood. And yeah, if it were me, like there were some things that would have to go. But like the originals, like updating them really is all that, like, you know, brightening. I am talking about a non-existent.
I guess it locks the attic.
Oh yeah, they would have come in and like ripped all of that out.
Oh, I know that that model. They want us out of here, so let's do them a favor.
This guy just wants to sit here and do nothing.
Just wants to read about
nothing, really. I don't think he really gives two craps about what's read in this magazine.
God, magazines with those things in it. The kids today won't know that.
Right. It's called Practical Homeowner.
What's the use of being a ghost if you can't scare people? That's what sucks, too. Not only are you dead, you're watching people, like, totally remodel your house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing worse would be, like, if both of them had not died and one of them had to watch the other one, like, go on. Mm-hmm. That would probably suck a lot.
Yeah, this is weird. Is this, like, some kind of afterlife thing with, like, a green planet to the side? And these shark-like worms coming around.
They're shark and snake-like at the same time. And it's kind of like, I can't think of the name of those dolls, those Russian dolls, because it's got a head inside of a head.
Oh, nesting dolls, yeah.
Yeah, nesting dolls.
She, like, smacked it. Like, get off my man.
I like that it's kind of like a claymation. Mm-hmm. Like, it reminds me of, like, old Gumby episodes and stuff.
Yeah.
When you're in that sandworm world.
Mm-hmm. Like a stop motion meets claymation, yeah. I'll just see. Like, I can't believe we're in Kennedy's. There's no session one up here.
This is when people started worrying about like MSGs and stuff in their food.
My whole life is a dark
room. That's what I was laughing at.
Like I love that she's got like a new second career kind of thing, like a new like a Winona-sance.
Kind of after all that like whatever she went through, she was clearly going through something when she did the whole like shoplift and all of that craziness. So, I am too.
Joyce, the hell is her last name?
Joyce Byers.
Joyce Byers, yeah, she's great as Joyce on Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. Like, it was like the turning point for her because she really was not doing anything anymore.
Is she with Keanu? Are they together now?
I don't know, to be honest. Hmm. It's one of those, I think people like hint at it, but I don't think he's such a private person about a lot of things. He's public about a lot of things, but he's private about others. And I think that's what makes him great. So.
Let's see.
And he is going to Google Fluid, I think.
She said they got married.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So, technically, they are legally married.
Okay.
It was, I don't remember which movie.
It was during Dracula?
Possibly. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember if it was, like, a prank or what happened, but they are legitimately legally married. Like, the marriage ceremony between their characters was a legitimate ceremony.
But they're not together.
No, no. Okay. I think they're friends, but yeah. Like.
So they back in the movie that we're watching, actually, they find a bio exorcist flyer of Beetlegeist. Beetlejuice.
I will say what I do like about the cartoon. So I did end up having to buy it on DVD. It was the only option possible. I got a really good deal on it from Amazon still, though. It's after all of this. So, like, Lydia and Beetlejuice are really good friends. The likeness of her parents, though, is just really well done. Oh, Lord, there's another one of her sculpture things. Yeah.
That's going to hurt somebody. This is my art, and it's dangerous.
I like how dramatic she is. Like, it's she's just so dramatic. So Lydia clearly sees them up there.
I guess that means she's a sensitive or something.
That's what I would assume.
God, those 80s fashions in the background.
There is something that we should just never go back to.
Yeah.
They do say children are more sensitive to things like that. Mm-hmm. And then they also say there are just people in general that are more sensitive to being able to, you know, have things to do with the other side, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen enough. I don't know whether I believe it. I think it's hokum, but, you know, being what I do and we have paranormal shows, I've seen lots of them, and it's kind of like,
I do believe, I do have a sense of belief, but I don't believe all of those shows. Mm-hmm. Like, you see them sometimes and you're like, no. But then if somebody came to me with a story of an experience, I wouldn't tell them they were crazy.
So she's got the skeleton key she was just given by the realtor. She's heading up to the attic. And they're trying to stop her from coming in. And it's a Beetlejuice commercial.
TV comes on by itself. That's just... He's such a grotesque person.
I know. He's acting like a cowboy. On the back of, like, a Lego cow or something.
Those glasses. Oh, my gosh.
Come on down if you act now. You get a free demon possession. With every exorcism. Remember, say it three times. Like Goofy dance. Come on down, I'll chew on dog. They probably just said, go bash you crazy with this role.
Right?
Pops out the key. Oh yeah, crisis averted. She won't come back. And now he's actually figuring it out.
He's bought all into this.
Draw a door.
Yeah, and she's like, I don't know why we're reading this stupid book. Why are you drawing a door?
He's like, maybe we should do the beetle guy. You can't have a door without a handle.
Guess a door, yeah, guess it needs a knob. I think he's second guessing himself here.
Yeah. What's the worst that could happen? You got chalk on your wall.
Right? Why is everything three times in the nether, the underworld? Know. Like, you gotta say Beetlejuice's name three times. You gotta knock on this drum door three times.
Maybe it's the significance of the number.
I don't know, because, like, even with the whole Bloody Mary, which we talked about in another recording you and I did, like, it's supposed to be done three times.
Or Candyman also.
Yeah, Candyman, the turning in the circle three times. Like, yeah, I've always, I don't know.
Well, because I think if you do something three times, that means you definitely want to do it. I guess. You do it once, could be a mistake, twice, maybe, but three times?
Well, they also say third time's a charm.
Yeah. So. Or, you know, you're three times a lady. You never know.
There, see, lots of threes here.
Mm-hmm. He's got, look at him. He's got the sweater on.
Oh, look at all the National Geographics up there. That's quite the National Geographic collection.
Lots of birds.
Yes.
In this.
Well, there's binoculars.
The birds of America. Could this become a bird movie? I don't know.
I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know.
Disclaimer, every time we're on a show of Miranda, we need to make reference to a bird movie. It's in our contract.
Yeah. I'm not sure who officially made that a thing.
Oh, I don't know. I think it was
just me accidentally screaming it's not a bird movie at everyone really loudly.
I think it was just by proxy. It just happened. Yes, just things just happen just magically.
Sometimes I'm funny.
I think you're funny all the time. Maybe not intentionally, but
Thanks.
Hey, I can be fun of all the time on my shows too. So it's all about fun here. I never noticed the guy with the shark on his leg.
So we've got
dead people in the waiting room. A woman got sawed in half. A witch doctor
Shrunky
with a tiny head.
Head guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Guy who choked on a chicken bone.
I'm gonna assume chicken bone because he's got that's actually a rooster on his thing.
His bib
there. Mm-hmm. This is what's really funny is in the cartoon, there's actually a lot of references to the movie. And this is one of them. There's one of the episodes mm-hmm. Beetlejuice has to go talk to like the mayor or something. He's done something again because in the cartoon, he's always screwing up in the Netherworld town. Mm-hmm. And he has to go sit in this waiting room.
Hmm. Where does she die from? She's like all green. Miss something. Miss Argentine. Huh. She's giving them such a hard time. Typical receptionist. You have to wait. Don't want to know what she died from.
I like how she's like, you're supposed to know this. And they're like, we don't understand anything.
The guy with the rattlesnake.
Oh, and his, oh my God, I have never noticed that. He's in a sleeping bag.
Yes.
So it makes you wonder, like, why didn't they keep the car with them at all times? Like, if everybody else has, like, what killed them?
Yeah, maybe. Why don't they look like somebody who drowned?
Well, they did when they first came back home, and they, like, couldn't get dry. And
yeah. Maybe they should have stayed wet. I don't know. We're poking holes in ghost theory.
Yeah, sorry. That's what happens when you watch things, like, at different points in your life. You're like, wait.
Like, why don't they ever explain what the flux capacitor does? It just says it makes time travel possible.
But why does it make time travel possible? Fuck! I do like how she clearly appreciates what she's just stumbled across in this attic room. Which we had a room like this in the house, and I kept trying to convince my parents to let me get my bedroom.
Oh, so you got the guy who burned down. Let's see what else we got.
The burned guy used to creep me out when I was younger.
Trying to cut down myself.
A whole pack of Marlboro Reds.
Oh, God. That's hardcore right there.
It really is. The only thing worse would be Paul Mall and filter.
Ugh. A lucky strike.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. He's got a shaky leg and everything. What happens when they die? What happens when she dies? Oh, yeah, she slit her wrist. That was it. She shows him.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Oh, what the guy over there now died in surgery or something?
Yeah, that's
this guy got run over by a truck. Now, that sucks to have to be like that forever.
Yeah, he died in surgery. The only one I'm not sure of is there's the guy sitting next to the...
The woman.
Magician's assistant.
Yeah.
That I'm not real sure what he died of.
There's a couple of them actually in there. We got the skeletons typing away.
Which then I'm curious, like skeletons, like why are they skeletons and other people like still have their outsides?
Yeah, he's been feeling a little flat. Yeah, he can't like move around. He's got to like basically just hang there and do this job the whole time. There's a guy hanging. Oh God. Things you notice when you're actually like looking at
right, it. Like we're actually like looking directly at the screen, paying attention and talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
These floors are so Alice in Wonderland-esque.
Yeah. Willy Wonka.
Love it. It's very reminiscent of like the she plays the chess game.
This guy's kind of creepy. The Lost Souls room. That's like death for the dead. So you don't want to be exercised.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to be exercised.
The friendly janitor.
Which is always weird, though, because I didn't think ghosts were exercised. I thought demons were exercised.
Hmm.
But again, am I like...
Well, I guess if you want a ghost out of your house...
Well, from what I understand from friends that do follow into that and do that, like I actually burn like sage and stuff. So that would be the what you do is you're supposed to go in each room and like announce as you're burning sage, announce the intention. Like I don't want you here. Please leave.
I know, like, I know somebody that does
exorcism.
That.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just a cleansing.
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh my God. I would be devastated too if that's what my house looked like after.
Yeah. Yeah, she got her throat slit. I think it took me like one or two viewings to notice that the smoke's coming out of her neck.
Oh, same.
Did you know the caseworker? At least she was older when she died. Not like
yeah,
that.
And you can see, like, if you look closer, you can actually see, like, the slit mark or the separation or what's supposed to be the separation.
Like, you're dead. And so they're complaining that the people that bought their house is not like them. Thank God you didn't die in Italy. You're like, basically, it's up to you. You read the damn handbook. She's like, yeah, giving them the business now because.
Right.
Apparently, they didn't, scare correctly. Oh. Oh, they get the warning about Beetlejuice. You don't want his help.
He does not work well with others.
here we go. Feel this all coming out right now.
Yeah.
So he was an assistant of whatever judo does.
I wonder if I can become a freelance bio-exorcist. Yeah. You think I could add that to my title?
Well, you'd have to be dead.
Says who?
I don't know. Maybe, well, you could try, I guess. Gives him the rules. Call his name 3 times. But don't fucking do it, basically. That's basically what you're saying.
Basically.
Saying, and she's like, how do we get you again?
She basically just said, you don't. Because they were like, how do we contact you? And she just doesn't answer. So that's basically a, you don't. Leave me the fuck alone.
You're on your own.
But I think it's more funny that she's concerned that Beetlejuice is in the cemetery of their diorama.
Yeah, well, this is where they have to stay because they can't really
right.
go any other
person. Like, he's in our cemetery. Mm-hmm. I thought the fly was kind of
yeah.
That's ginormous.
Hey, hey, you, come here. Hungry?
Zagnut.
Zagnut.
Come on, have a little bite of something. A little something to notch.
I guess he eats the fly.
Before your nerves went.
Winter River, Connecticut.
Is it a real town in Connecticut or a made-up town?
I think it's made up. I'm going to Google it right now. Winter River. Oh, wait. Hold on. Oh.
Or is it like one of those, like, it's a, you can come, they've made it, but it's not real. Like, we have one here, just a few hours north. The little town of Spectre. That's from Big Fish.
Mm-hmm.
So Spectre was not real, but it's all still there where they filmed. And so you can go and you can tour it. And people will often bring shoes to throw up over the line like they do in Big Fish, which is another Tim Burton movie.
No, it's made up. But you can look at the Maitland's house. And I guess it's actually in Connecticut, I guess.
Okay, so kind of like what they did with Spectre, then, where it's there, you can go check it out, but it's not real.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a zip code. You can't live there.
So, okay. So I'm looking at the fictional real estate listing. It was, the list price was $344,000.
For this house?
Yeah. Only three bedrooms, two bath. Built in 1910.
This would have been in the 80s. So in the 80s for $344,000. Holy moly.
One car garage, two story plus attic, large kitchen, dark room, gateway to the afterlife, convenient access to the planet Saturn, two living ghosts. It's all on the listing right here.
I would just be pissed off that they ruined my sheets. Those are nice sheets.
One call to Jane and we were set. I called Beetlejuice two times and he never showed up. Delia Dietz. And they have other listings. Oh, it says awesome similar homes, 1313 Mockingbird Lane, which is where the monsters live. Wayne Manor,
right?
The Bates Motel, and Ghostbusters Firehouse. So if you're looking to for this website, it's Movado.com, the lighter side of real estate, I guess. This is a cute site.
So what I really like right now is that they have finally, like, made themselves, they can be heard and seen.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks it's Lydia and tells her to move along. Lydia thinks it's her parents getting it on and is like, oh my God. But then she realizes something's not right. So she comes out with a Polaroid.
Meanwhile, the mother is...
But she's still yelling at him. She's like, do it in your own bedroom. Like, I think she still thinks this is her parents.
Yeah, the mother, I guess, took a Valium.
Yeah, her mom's out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she looks at the picture and notices that they ain't no legs.
Hmm.
At least they did their sheets better than Charlie Brown did.
Or Charlie Brown and his sheets.
Oh. That's a cheap plug for the last episode of Laughing Theater. We did a little quickie, and me, you, and Jenny, we watched Great Pumpkin.
We did.
Mm-hmm. It was so much fun.
Plan on doing some more of those, though, right?
Mm-hmm. There'll be more coming soon.
Those are
going to
be fun.
A soft tease. Yep. So we did soft plugs and soft teases here at
Laughing
Theater.
So I think it's hysterical how she read the book, but they didn't.
Says live people ignore the strange and unusual, and she's like, I myself am strange and unusual.
I have a friend that has that tattoo. It's a combination of different things from different Burton movies, and she has that saying, and then I forget what all else is in it, but it's all something different from, so it's basically like a Burton tattoo. It's not just a Beetlejuice or Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. So they found a friend. Mm-hmm. Show the model and everything. He's like, nope, ain't happening. My father doesn't walk away from equity.
That's so funny. I like that the only thing that's gotten this kid excited or made her smile is the fact that they truly are dead.
There are ghosts up here. Like, don't tell them unless you think they'll frighten us.
Her bangs. Oh, my Lord.
Would that get a bless your heart?
Yeah. That was a... There's a couple of different kinds of bless your hearts, and that was one of those. Oh, bless your heart.
Yes, I did not. I was not aware of that until you and Jenny schooled me on that.
Like, my husband said something the other day, and I was like, was that a... You know how you also say, like, oh, Lord, or oh, mm-hmm. God, or something like that? I was like, was that, like, a Southern woman, one of those? And he's like, no, that was legit. I was like, oh, okay, just making sure. My husband is not Southern. He was moved here at the beginning of high school. And then I was military, so he's originally from Chicago. So there's a lot of things that, even though he came here when he was a teenager, he came to, like, the middle of nowhere, Tennessee. But, like, even though he ended up there was a lot of sayings when he met me, and he'd been in the military and been around a lot of people. He was like, what? I'm like, what do you mean, what? Like, why are you looking at me funny? He has them all down pat now, though.
Okay. So she's cooking for a dinner party. Like, can we just play family tonight for one night? Thank you.
I like how they keep getting Beetlejuice's name wrong. They've called him Beetle, Beetlemeyer,
well,
Beetle Guy.
It's not spelled the way it sounds, so.
No.
He must be living it up in that model. Like, what's this flashing light in this little? So she says the name three times. Go ahead, say it, Barbara.
There you go. And like we said earlier, third time's a charm.
Yes. Now they're in the model.
I keep calling it a diorama. Same difference though, right?
I guess. Just have to dig them up. So cute. Even in death, they're all like holding hands and.
Oh, yeah.
In love and. Yeah.
Sorry, that made me laugh. You're like, bleh. Which it is laughing theater, so. Yes. Kind of what we're supposed to do here.
Well, yes, it's a kind of. Yes, no, sometimes.
I kind of want to be like, why are you like flipping that up? You could just pick it up with your hand. Essentially. Right now. Well, that is chipping.
It's cardboard.
Well, no, but the stuff, it's just foam. Foam. There mm-hmm. we go. Mm-hmm. My brain is fried. I put together, I've now worked on two of three beautiful projects.
Wow.
Question is, why do they have to dig him up if he has been able to appear?
You know, I don't know. Maybe it's all about the show. This whole spiel and act. And here we go.
They're like...
like instant regret. Like, what the fuck did we do? Adam.
It's not like moldy and... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this must be so much fun to play.
Right? Kind of makes you wonder with a role like this, how much was written or how much they just were like, go for it. Because, you know, a lot of people in that day were great at, like, just, they would tell them, just have fun with it. And you'd get scenes like this.
Let it throw your voice, fool your friends, fun at parties. I I have to get to know you guys. Been with you for a while. Real pals, you know what I'm saying? Save the guy for later. That's one I always I still use that. What are your qualifications? Well, I attended Juilliard and graduated Harvard Business School. I lived through the Black Plague and I had a good time during that. And I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times, and to mention it keeps getting funnier every time I see it. Not to mention the fact you're talking to a dead guy. Now, what do you think? You think I'm qualified? Can you be scary? Here's a whack off. What do you think of this?
I used to be really angry when I was little. They like, well, what? How scary is he? I want to see it. But I think that's part of like the.
He's also a pervert too, by the
way. Oh, he's a big pervert. Which actually, Jenny and I watched Little Shop of Horrors together last night, and the plant is a pervert.
Oh yeah, amigo, hermano.
Still, it's like we shop at the same store. I want to be like what LL Bean.
Yeah, one of my oldest friends, who I don't get to see often, actually went to his house last year for Christmas. Every time I see him, we give that whole handshake. It's like amigo, hermano. Because I think we saw this together. So basically, what he's saying, you've been to Saturn, I've been to Saturn. I guess when they leave the house, they're on Saturn, where the sandworms are.
Oh, you know what? I think they referenced that in the cartoon as well.
I hate when that happens. His head spins around.
I would highly recommend, if you didn't watch the cartoon when it originally came out, which was sometime in the 90s, or you did and you just don't remember it, to go back and watch it. Because I am loving it.
Hey, come on. Where'd you go? I'm trying to work here. Come on. I'll make you a deal. You're a bunch of losers.
That's my favorite. You're a bunch of losers.
He kicks over the tree. Nice fucking model. The one F-bomb they're allowed. You know that rule, right?
Do what?
You're allowed to use the word fuck once without getting an R rating.
I did not know this. Mm-hmm. I've always been frustrated about the fact that, we all know I curse up a storm. Mm-hmm. I don't usually say GD, but it amazes me how many times that you can say that, like, in a television show or a movie, but you can't say fuck or shit.
Actually,
those words will get bleeped out.
From where I do, we bleep goddamn.
And, oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, and Jesus Christ, if it's used in vain, yeah. That's another one of our no-nos. But if it was like a religious show and you refer to him as Christ or you refer to him as Jesus, right, then it's fine. But yeah, the rule is that you can use the word fuck once, but it cannot refer to the act without getting an R rating.
I was not aware of that rule.
So, we saw one of the Transformers, shitty Transformer movies with the kids. I think it was the first one that Marky Mark did.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a line in the movie going, how do you say, get the fuck out of the way in Cantonese? And my kids, like, looked at me going, Dad, I thought this was PG-13. I'm like, it is. It is their loud one.
Here's the infamous dinner party.
And them some giant shrimp she's got them gotten them. I don't like huge shrimp like that because they don't have this good flavor.
They really don't.
Mm-hmm. Kids, you know I love them.
I want to be like, just because you have one does not mean you love them.
Two dozen toll booths. There's not two dozen toll booths going from New York City to Connecticut.
There's a way going to Jenny's house that I hit toll booths, but you don't even have to stop. It takes a picture of your license plate and then just bill you.
Oh, y'all don't have something down there like Easy Pass we have up here?
Well, they do, but I don't go through it enough to get it.
I have actually the New York, New Jersey one.
They call it Florida Sun Pass.
Yeah. Easy Pass is for like New York and New Jersey right now. Connecticut, there's no tolls yet.
You say day.
Dale!
Come and me one go home.
Mr. Dale. And the great Dick Cavett. I don't know. I think he's dead. No, he'd be alive. I don't know.
Lydia is loving every moment of this.
There's Otho playing the ice bucket like it's a bongo.
Sorry, me banana.
Be like, come and we want to go.
Good bunch.
These people obviously do not have a lot of rhythm.
The thing is, like, I don't know that this would terrify me. And they're all like, this is terrifying them. They're all like, why the hell am I doing? I guess that would terrify me. Like, why do I have no control? Why am I doing this?
Like that Lydia is. Dick Cavett is still alive. He was born in 1936, which makes him 83.
Who is that?
Dick Cavett.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I love this part.
This is pretty awesome.
And the shrimp hands. They all get knocked out.
It makes you wonder if that's why they are so big, is because of the effect that has to come later.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know, I'm like you.
Well, I guess, you know, what's her face? Delia. She's probably the type that just is, oh, I don't care, just give me the biggest thing. Give me the biggest fat. Right.
What's ostentatious? Like, what would be the most impressive to the people coming? Like,
and she actually did tell them she saw ghosts.
Yeah.
They want you to come downstairs. They're like all excited. It had the reverse effect. Like they want the ghost there. I didn't even knew I could do the calypso. I don't think I've ever seen this other woman in any other movies. These two.
Oh, so Lydia's given them the pictures of the ghosts, so they have their photographic proof, basically.
Maxie Dean, who is, I guess that's his boss.
That's the person he was on the phone with that he got onto Lydia, or who he thought was Lydia. Mm-hmm. This guy's still like, yeah, I don't believe it.
Let's see. Susan Kellerman, is that her name? That's Grace? I wonder what that weird looking woman, what her name is. If you can find her on IMDb.
Delia's mom is, Lydia's mom is making fun of them, saying, well, it's a little late for them to decide to be neurotic, like they're dead.
The woman who played Juno, she died in 1999. Feel you're a flake. You've always been a flake. You insist on frightening people to do it with your sculpture. Like the attic's locked. They can do whatever they want. They're ghosts.
It's kind of how that works.
Yeah, I never saw the Beetlejuice show down in, he used to do like the Graveyard Review at Universal Studios for a while.
Uh-huh.
I think it was like one of those day one things they did. I'm not sure how long it lasted, though.
Huh.
Yeah, like a whole thing. I remember I have a video of, that I bought there. It was like the, kind of like the behind the scenes kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when they show the Beetlejuice clip, like the ladies go scream when Dracula comes out because he's got like this long brown hair and he's kind of buff and, you know, they're all like, ooh.
I think one of one of the things that we did do at Universal that we like broke off and did on our own, Caden really wanted to do, we went and set through a classic Monsters, like where they explained like how they do the makeup and special effects. And they talked about like who really got it all started and things like that. And then we ate at that classic Monster Cafe. Well, I ate. There was actually nothing for Caden. That was my only complaint with Universal is they proudly pronounce on their website how they're like spectrum friendly and they'll make food accommodations, and getting them to make food accommodations was really hard actually.
Yeah, we kind of when we were at Disney, we tried to, you know, see if they had chicken nuggets, because you know Dylan's not on the spectrum. He was when he was younger, but he's got, you know, food issues. I remember having to find chicken nuggets a couple of times, though.
Yeah.
Because
they were better at Disney, but it was still hard. I think the good thing about Disney is it was so much easier to bring your own food in. And then we had rented a house off property, and so we had a lot of food at the house. And when we went to Universal, we went with school, so we were staying on property at one of their resorts. So, like, I was limited to, you know, what was there. I will say that resort we stayed at was very accommodating and very, like, it was part of Universal. But they were amazing.
Okay.
Now I can't remember which one it was. It has, like, classic cars and stuff out in the front.
Oh, yeah. I've heard, I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it was really nice. But they were, they have, like, full restaurants and stuff in there. And
Cabana Bay?
Yes, Cabana Bay. That's what we say.
Huh, here comes the giant snake.
With the Beetlejuice head.
Beetlejuice's head on it. Kind of looks like Pennywise.
You know, I've never thought about that before.
The way the mouth is. Yeah.
Well, you know, they all take inspiration from each other.
I was actually watching the Saturday Night Live Halloween special the other night, and they were showing the sketch where they did the It parody with Kellyanne Conway and and what's his face?
I missed it.
Yeah, it's funny. I'll send you a. I think it's on the YouTube.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I've come for your daughter, Chuck. Yeah, this is kind of scary. You're a kid, little kid though.
Oh, I could see. Yeah,
like a snake with a head like that.
To be honest, even with the effects that we get now, I still feel like this movie effects and all hold up. Now, Lydia is like very upset because she actually felt like she could trust Barb and Adam, and she really enjoyed them and their company, I think. And now here Beetlejuice is pulling his shit, and she just she doesn't want anything to do with any of them now.
He crashed a car in a model after they banned him back there.
He started like a tantrum. Doesn't he remind you of like a 3-year-old on a tantrum? Yeah. That's why we had a deal. Edgar Allan Poe's daughter.
She picks him up and he like gets spikes in his body.
Like a thorny rose.
Go ahead, make my millennium.
Which when I was, so when I was getting the movie on Amazon so that I could just watch it this way, I was scrolling through there and it's like, you bought this, so we recommend this. And I had forgotten about a movie that it made me want to see if you've ever watched it. It's also along the lines of like horror, comedy horror. It was called Saturday the 14th. Oh. And then it had a second movie that was Saturday the 14th Strikes Back.
They put a horror out there. Actually, it's funny too, because I talked to Mr. Criscolo about that, and he was actually at a horror convention in New Jersey this past weekend and picked up a copy of that.
Oh, really?
Movie, yeah. For like $10 or something like that.
It was one of my favorites when I was younger.
I remember seeing it on, it was on cable a lot when we were kids. I remember it kind of, it was a little more scary than it should have been.
Oh, it was. It's only rated like PG. I checked because I thought about showing it to my son tomorrow. It's rated PG, so I think we'll give it a go.
Yeah, that would probably be before PG-13 came around.
Probably. Well, ratings were different.
Yeah. And there's a whole football team dead.
They're all dead.
That's driving Juno crazy.
They're not talking. Like, they can't talk anymore, I guess. They're only doing, like, play signals at each other, which is really funny.
I know. I think one of them calls her coach or something.
Oh, okay.
She's basically Tom all the ways they fucked up. You let him get the book. You did this. You did that. What is wrong with you two?
Oh, yeah. Coach wears the men's room.
The coach
survived. Oh, the coach survived.
I guess they were in a bus crash or something.
Oh, that's really cool. So when you're watching things on Amazon, sometimes they'll give you like general trivia about the movie. Mm-hmm. And it says that, so if you looked in that scene there, when you were looking at Barb and Adam, behind them, it looked like movie theater. Mm-hmm. Like they were like the ghosts too. Uh-huh. So it's supposed to give the illusion that like you could see each other.
Ah.
And so for when they played it in theaters, that's pretty cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I got to enjoy a lot of movies as a kid. I think you and I have talked about this before on another pod we've done, but my grandfather had the full like VHS dubbing setup. Mm-hmm. Like, it was pretty amazing. And he would go to the movie store, like they knew him by name, mm-hmm. and he was there every new, it was usually Tuesday's movie released, I believe.
Yeah.
And he was there and he would get one of each new release. And he would come home, and he actually watched them as he dubbed them, whether it was a kid's movie, a horror movie. He watched everything. And once he dubbed it, it was put, like, on a tape with a bunch of others. Mm-hmm. And he tried to keep them themed. So, like, horror movies with another horror movie or kids' movies with a kid's movie.
Yeah.
And then they had – each tape had a number. Do you remember the little stickers that used to come on VHS mm-hmm. tapes? And so he would actually use those and put those on there. And then he had binders, and one was by genre, and one was alphabetical. And then he had another one that was, I don't remember what it was. I know there was genre and I know there was alphabetical. And so we could go get the binder and flip through it. And then like this cabinet was the 800s and this cabinet was the 100s. And we could find the number, go to the cabinet and get the movie out.
Ah.
And if he really liked it, he'd make a copy for us to take for our own homes.
Flight 409 is arriving. Pretty busy.
So actually, it says right here, Flight 409 is arriving at gate 3. It is a United Airlines flight that crashed into a mountain in Wyoming on October 6th of 55, killing all of its passengers and crew aboard.
Ah.
And at the time of this movie, it was one of the worst plane crashes in history. Apparently, to this day, nobody knows why it crashed.
Ah.
I like the eyeballs and the fingers.
There you go.
Like how Juno's like, it's not bad.
Like, oh crap, you put me on the spot. Oof.
That's rough. That had to hurt.
Yeah.
I like how Adam's holding up his glasses and his eyeball fingers to look at what she's done.
They gotta get the photographs and the damn handbook. Here comes the
ball team.
I know that guy. You guys know a lot of stuff, too. I don't think we survived the crash. How'd you guess? Why are you dead? Oh, no. Beetlejuice sunning himself. Are you a ghost? I'm the ghost with the nose, babe.
So he's had like a great night. He went to the girls' house, and now he's sunning himself. That hair. Oh my God. Did they ever say how Beetlejuice died?
No. Nah. Wonder how they never say how long he's been a ghost for either.
Oh, that's true.
Could you help me get out of here?
Well, she wants to get into the diorama. She wants to be done. Like, yeah. She just
trying to, like, you know, appease her.
Trick her, kind of. Mm-hmm.
He can actually say his name. We could play charades.
Have you heard the song from the musical that goes with this part?
No.
It's actually really funny.
He's like, look, just Tara. Hey, how are you? Beetle orange breakfast.
Like beetle breakfast. Like what the, how does she think that even goes together?
That's your name, Beetlejuice?
I know, she's looking at him like, what kind of fucking name?
Who the hell names him Beetlejuice?
Oh, like how she's like, wait, you were the snake. And he's like, ah, kids in their imagination.
She's starting to rethink it.
She's smart. I mean, yes, she believes in the afterlife and she can see them all, but she's not dumb.
We have to go through with this.
They've already kind of like, they like Lydia. Obviously, they've spent a lot of time together that you don't see in the movie, is what I would assume.
Yeah. Don't say it. Say it. Say it. And so she's like, don't, we're dead. She's like, I want to be dead. No, you don't. He needs to get a slap upside the head.
He can't come out of his, like, little head pulley scary thing he's done. He's got his fingers on his eyeballs on fingers, and he can't, like, figure out how to stop.
Yeah, he's having a lot of trouble going back to his regular face. He still has the nose. Uh-oh. Taking the model.
Gonna mess with the model.
They're basically trying to turn into like Disneyland for people into paranormal.
But you can tell this guy is not entirely sold. He kind of thinks it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
I do think it's funny that they choose the old hardware store as one of the places to put something.
Mm-hmm. Lydia's like the go-between, the liaison, if you will.
I do think it's funny that Beetlejuice dropped him and all he has is a bandage on his forehead.
Now she looks familiar. What else has she been in? Oh yeah, she was in The Wedding Singer and Basket. She's gotten older.
Is that the Mari Cheatham?
Yeah.
Of course, everybody knows Robert Goulet.
Mm-hmm.
I like how they're like, we have Otho.
Yes, Otho can save the day.
So, Catherine O'Hara actually met her husband on this film.
Really?
Yeah, he was a production designer.
Oh.
I guess Tim Burton said he should ask her out near the end of the movie. And the guy was like, well, it didn't even occur to me that I was even supposed to talk to the actors. But since Tim told me to, I did it. And then we dated and now we're married, obviously. That's funny to me that you work on the set together and you're all both part of this huge movie. But he's like, well, she's an actor. I can't talk to her. Strange.
You don't want to mess with the talent. I guess there's like these rules that you just abide by.
I know. I used to do seat filling gigs for like award shows and stuff in Nashville. And that was actually one of the things that, like, if they talk to you, it's fine, but you were not to ask them for autographs and you were not supposed to start an initial conversation with them. You could say congratulations or something, like if they were the one that won. But you weren't, and if the camera panned to you because you were sitting with one of them, you were just kind of to look like you were happy and like part of their charade, but you weren't to look in the camera. So I'd assume like acting on a film would be so like
having a seance
for Adam and Barbara. They've got their wedding attire down there on the table.
Something they need.
I want to know what qualifies Otho, because they're like, we have an Otho. Like, what qualifies Otho to be the language of the sale?
I think Otho's full of shit.
I think Otho's full of shit too. I think Lydia would have been way more qualified. But, you know, she's read the entire Handbook of the Dead.
I think Otho reads something he thinks he's an expert on.
Pretty much. I mean, because earlier he said he was a hair analyst, and what else has he been? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Starting this part was kind of sad to me.
Yeah.
I feel like he clearly just went and got a book. Wait, is he using the handbook? Because that sounds really bad of me to not know. But otherwise, I feel like he just randomly bought a book from some bookstore. Like, I'm just going to take this book.
And now they got him in his tuxedo.
So how would you react if you went to a seance and this happened in front of you?
I'm like, what the hell? What was in that pipe we just smoked?
Right?
I'd be like, what is happening?
What did you feed me?
Dude, my peyote's kicking in. What's happening?
Aw. She's trying to hold her hand again, which you've commented on a few times. Like how they're still like madly in love with each other. He's trying to hold her hand and her hand is like crumbling and breaking apart. Basically decomposing. Okay, yeah, he does have the book. That's right. Like Robert Goulet's character is like, don't worry, they don't feel anything. But you can clearly tell they feel this and they're sad.
Otho's like, that's coming a little bit over my head here. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, Charles is even to the point where he's like, you need to stop this. This is not right.
Now she goes to make a deal with the devil, and he's wearing his classic Beetlejuice outfit.
Yes.
With the black and white striped going downward.
I really wanted to try to convince Kaden to do Beetlejuice and Lydia with me. But I wanted to do the Lydia from she wears that like red spiderweb poncho thing in the cartoon.
Oh. Okay.
I wanted to do that one. He said no. He'd already picked something, that's why he said no. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's just like waiting for her to say it.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. She knows she doesn't have an option at this point, though.
It's
there we go.
It's showtime.
You do that well.
Thank you.
It's fun to, you know, I'm sorry, it's fun to do voices.
It is. I did I was the plant a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when you
I was both Audreys last night. I did a lot of them. I love that one right there.
Attention, Kmart shoppers.
When he comes up and he's got like this carousel slash baby thing on his head. Feel real good about myself. You know what I mean?
Am I dreaming? No. And you ain't in Kansas neither. Like, Beetlejuice is just fun. That's like, if you were ever going to like be in like a play or a thing, it just seems like a fun role to be because you just get to whack out silly.
What's so funny is this woman is completely amazed. She's like having Mari, I think her name is. Yeah. She's loving it. She does not even begin to realize, like, even Robert Goulet is just laughing.
Yeah. Thank you. Two shows a night. A lot of smoking in this movie.
It really is. I remember when they wanted to bring, when they first brought Constantine to TV, prior to Legends of Tomorrow, when they had his, when he had just his own show, there was a big to-do with that, like him smoking and why they wouldn't present him smoking again. Oh. It was like in the 80s, everybody smoked in every movie.
Looks like Otho's getting his comeuppance finally.
Oh, yep. He knew he had to at some point. Because Otho kind of instigated all this.
Mom, Dad. Tell me when I come over.
Dowry's on me, Dad.
He has a couple of snakes.
See, again, that's only like the third time you see their last name, so it makes sense that you and I are both like, what's their last name?
I love how he tries to comb that hair.
I do love this tuxedo.
Shall we? It's got her red wedding.
The original red wedding.
Yes. I never saw the other one.
Eh.
On my to-do list in terms of TV shows. Now those freaky sculptures come to life. Did you, first time you saw it, were you like a little freaked out by this part?
Yeah.
The stop motion here.
Like, well, it was not so much the stop motion. It was the fact that like this furniture came to life. When I was like 8 or 9, I had like, we call them shift robes. So it's basically like a Blind the Witch in the wardrobe that I had in my room. And it fell on me, like on top of me, and trapped me, like doors open, like trapped me in it. So that kind of creeped me out when these things came to life and like trapped them in it. I was like, I don't know how I feel about this now. Prior to that, it didn't bother me as much. And afterwards, I was like, now this little guy, believe it or not, creeped me the hell out when I was a kid. I used to like see him, and my mom was like, oh my God, just go to bed.
Don't say the B word. Be your wedded wife. Oh, geez, I don't know. This is kind of a big decision. Yeah, sure. Go ahead. I guess if they say every time you say it 3 times, I guess he goes back or comes forward, I guess.
You can talk without teeth.
Yes, you can.
You can talk when you can barely open your jaw, so.
Yes, I'm sure that didn't stop you.
No, it did not.
Like, Miranda's got things to say.
They were pissing me off.
Oh, yeah.
I had extra people in my house, mm-hmm. which was a blessing and a curse. Mm-hmm. Here comes Barbara.
Beetlejuice.
She truly is like a determined mama at this point. Oh, no. He forgot the ring.
Oh, no.
Is that a snake? Yeah.
Yeah, he handed somebody else a snake earlier.
Uh-oh. Poor Barbara. She just got zapped to Sam Warrenville.
Yes, apparently on Saturn. The ring's on somebody's finger on it.
It meant nothing at all.
I'm telling you, it was nothing.
There we go. She just comes in from Saturn.
It's a sandworm that eats Beetlejuice.
Yep. I like how the little minister alien guy is just like, okay. And he's like looking at everybody. There he goes, up in flames to leave.
Miss Shannon School for Girls.
Mm-hmm. And those uniforms.
I know. And all the girls' schools around here had to wear them.
I never went anywhere where I had to wear uniforms.
Oh, God, it sucks.
My husband did. He went to Catholic school for quite some time.
So did I. I did 5 years in grade school, and then I went to a Catholic all-boys high school.
Oh.
We had to wear a jacket. We didn't have a uniform, but we had to wear a jacket and tie every day. So I guess she, you know, she helps them with, they help her with stuff, and she takes pictures of the town and stuff. Like, so can I. Out of all the things she's going to ask for, this is what she asked for?
It's kind of, I think that's what makes it so awesome, though. It's just so cute and innocent. Yeah. And they want to be cute, innocent ghosts, basically. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's shown that they've grown, like, with their ability of what they can do.
Jump any line.
I love this, actually. Let's
give our end time. Okay. I believe you. The living and the dead. Oh. I guess they're living in harmony. Actually, a good sculpture she did.
She's better now that she's had influence from creepy Beetlejuice there. So I can imagine taping that. It'd actually be kind of fun. Mm-hmm.
So I get an AMI test. You lift me in the air to do a lip sync. Jump, 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 Sonora, jump it all the time.
Man, she'd been waiting forever, hadn't she?
Mm-hmm. Now they have a witch doctor there now. And he's been waiting a long time, too.
Yeah, yes. I'm not even going to try to read the number to you.
They're tuning number 3. He's got like 9,870,000. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. The witch doctor is number 4.
Did you do that, Billy? Ask you. Very nice work. Yeah, it looks like I'm next.
Photo shoot for GQ.
Witch doctor takes a little powder out. Sprinkles on Beetlejuice. Hey, what are you doing? You're messing up my hair. Hey, come on. Whoa! Whoa! Stop it! Whoa! Whoa! Hey, this might be a good look for me.
There's our football players joining her as backup dancers.
That's funny. <That's> fun movie.
Shake the
bottom,
shake the bottom line.
I'm the ghost of the most, baby.
I should do Beetlejuice 1 year.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
That or, hello, Sydney.
I love doing that voice too, because you basically you take Bane and you just make him sinister. Remember how Bane and what was that Batman? What was that? The Dark Knight Rises, like,
yep.
Take control of your city, take control, and then you just get sinister. Hello, Sydney.
Because you have to say, like, for me, like, to do voices, I have to say like a phrase that gets me into it.
See, I have to think about it. I was thinking really hard about something. There's something that you and I are going to be doing coming up that I have a voice that I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been really thinking about, I've been like trying to get into it.
Yeah, I had one voice and then somebody else requested it. And I don't know how this person is going to pull it off. But being the good teammate here at PlayStation Nation, I gave it up and I picked something else.
You know, there's not very many of us ladies over here, so I didn't think that anybody would really pick my choice.
Well, I did help you with that a little bit.
You did. I was like,
Andy, hey, I need help.
Who should I be from the 80s?
I know, I could just hear it in Miranda
and I
voice.
Thought about
Andy,
that, I was like, is that 80s or 90s? Like, I was trying to decide really where she would fall.
Mm-hmm. Well, she really hit in the 80s.
That's true. That's very true.
So I think we can't give away too much or else, you know, we won't get in trouble. So,
we didn't really give anything away. Mm-hmm. So I'm foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing. As our good friend, Mr. Tim Capel says, that's a soft tease.
Yes.
You know, so, Miranda, what do you got coming up? What you alluded to I guess the Halloween episode of Geek and Sassy. What'd you guys do?
Okay, that's hard to keep up. We did a Geek and Sassy first. Obviously, live watch. I'm here. I've been here before, mm-hmm. And Jenny does live watches on Drive-In, and she sent a few. So live watches are not new for her or anyone,
mm-hmm.
But they are going to be done. So for our Halloween episode. Over on the Jimmy live watch.
Okay. Get a little closer to the mic. Yeah, you were going in and out.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know. But yeah, you guys did a live watch, a little Shop of Horrors.
Sure did.
Which I can't wait to listen to because I have not seen the movie in a little bit. And like I said,
I actually had not seen it in a while, and it was kind of cool to like remember parts and talk about different things and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You remember everybody who's in it, like the two lead actresses from the show Martin are two of the girls in the beginning who sing throughout the movie. The Little Shop Girls, I guess. I forgot what they're actually called.
So that is referred to as a Greek chorus. And their names are Ronette. Hang on. Because I make mention of like how they decided to give them their names. But it's Ronette, Chiffon, and... Oh, crap. Now I can't remember.
Ooh, took his dollar.
But they're great. It's, again, kind of like I said when we started this episode, and we were like, amazing cast. Again, it was this years where the cast lineup was usually pretty phenomenal for any movie that you went to see.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the same with Little Shop of Horrors there.
Yeah, we used to, during the show... Me and my friend Sean, who was Seymour, and my friend Steve, who was Bushnick, we used to like dance behind the curtain, like you know, kind of do like a silly, like making like pantomime dance, like of the girls, mm-hmm. because they were out on the stage with the curtain down, right?
Right.
Doing the opening song. And one night our other friends on the stage group opened the curtain early and we're like, oh shit. We all had to like dive off stage or to our places.
Did anyone see you though? That would be the, like,
I think people saw us. I think. Yeah. I mean, I had to dash under the table, not the table, the counter of the store. And I think Steve had to go to the table. That's where Mushnick starts. And I think Seymour starts off stage, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's a lot of fun. Yeah. So check it out on the Jenny Position, Geek and Sassy with Miranda and Jenny watching Little Shop of Horrors. It's going to be very cool. And also over there, I know Jenny has a new show she debuted called Telling Stories, where she reads some tense, spooky or whatever kind of story. So it was very good.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really, really good. Really
she's,
good.
She's doing a lot of fun things over there, and we fully support her.
She's honing her craft. I'm very proud of her because I remember the day of me being like, hey, Jenny, I want to do a podcast, and I don't want to do it alone. And she was just as nervous as I was about even attempting a podcast. Mm-hmm. And now here we are 3 years later. And she's got multiple podcasts and doing this really cool new project. So it's just super cool. Like, she's really, like, grown a lot with it.
All right. Anything else coming up in your neck of the woods, Miss Miranda?
Working on some projects, but nothing to, like, get excited about or have official announced dates. But, like, just know I'm working on things.
And always check out on Facebook, Moms and Nerd.
Yeah.
That's your, yes, personal, yes, Facebook page. Also, you know, if you listen to Miranda and Jenny joining me for The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, we will be back. It's the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. And then again at Christmas time, we'll be back. So we're doing all three Peanuts stories week, you know. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. We have more Laughing Theaters and specials coming. I am actually a part of a show on the Wrestling Feed, although I am not a host. I am one of the behind-the-scenes help, and it is a game show, a trivia show called Body Press Your Luck. That's going to be hosted by JT Rosero and Jordan Duncan. So check that out coming over to the Wrestling Feed. If you're interested, you know, reach out on the Facebook page. We have the Place to Be Nation page. We also have Place to Be Nation live chats where you just say, hey, I want to be involved. I know my shit when it comes to wrestling because I've seen the questions for the first game. You got to know your shit.
Right.
I've already embarrassed myself on the Place of the Nation trivia show. So I think once and one and done is good for me. So also we have the next tournament starting soon, which is the Greatest Sitcom Tournament. We're working on the brackets right now, and there will also be a preview pod, much like we did for the Candy Tournament and for the 80s Song Tournament. So it will be myself, Scott Criscolo, Justin Rosero, and the manager, Todd Weber. We're going to break down the matchups and tell you who we think is going to come out on top in that tournament.
It's a pretty impressive list. It is.
It's going to be very interesting to see where things lie, and you know, and it's interesting where some of the boundaries ended up. Like Friends and Seinfeld are not going to be in the same bracket. So everybody would think they'd be together, but in fact, we had to go by first premiere date to kind of even things out.
Seems like it would make sense, though. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how you would want things to be, premiere date, and that gets rid
of the argument, is it an 80s sitcom, is it a 90s sitcom, or blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So we also have Star Wars month coming right after Thanksgiving, leading up to episode 9. So there'll be a special episode of Laughing Theater with Spaceballs, with somebody making their debut on the show. So, and also
such a good pick there.
Mm-hmm, the next episode of Great Debate will be Star Wars themed, with also some new to Place to Be Nation guests. Got people that you've never heard before over here.
Cool.
A little crossover event with another podcast. So look forward to that. And there's also more episodes of Beer and Pop and everything else coming. Don't forget, check out all of our Facebook pages, both the Wrestling Feed and here on the Pop Feed. Go to placemation.com. New articles every day, new voices, and some of the old, you know, veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walk Around the Web, and all kinds of fun stuff. So I just want to say thank you, Miranda, for joining me on my Halloween episode to watch movies. All right, awesome. Awesome. For those of you out there, thank you for listening. And the theater is closed. We will see you at the next show. Take care, everybody. Nice fucking model. Shake, Sinora, shake your body line. Shake, Sinora, shake it all the time. Work, Sinora. Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobenation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Okay. Oh God.